5 years ago, the Justice Department began a civil rights investigation at the nation's fourth largest jail system. During a lengthy investigation, Justice Department officials found that guards were using excessive force against inmates at the Maricopa County jails in Arizona. Much of the abuse was carried out with a new tool in the world of corrections, stun guns. One inmate who was awaiting trial died in an incident with Maricopa guards who were using stun guns. Throughout the inquiry, nobody mentioned that it was the Justice Department that had provided the weapons or that the Maricopa jail was being used as a federal test site for stun guns. NPR's Amy Costello has this report.
A stun gun sends 50,000 volts of electricity through the body. That sounds like a lot, but since the electricity is delivered at low levels, it's not lethal.
This is the original handheld stun device or contact stun gun.
Dennis Kaufman is president of Stun Tech in Cleveland, Ohio. He manufactures and sells stun guns to prisons and police departments around the country.
It's about 8 inches long, probably about 2.5 inches wide when you hit the button. Okay. When applied to somebody, this then will emit the electrical current and a frequency into somebody, which will temporarily immobilize them.
Getting stunned hurts about as much as a bee sting, but the handheld devices are so powerful, even the largest, most aggressive person can be rendered powerless in a matter of seconds. And advocates say the real promise for stun guns in jails lies in the fact that guards shouldn't have to use them very much. That's because most everyone is afraid of electricity. To prove the point, Kaufman holds a stun gun out in front of him.
If you walk up to somebody and go like that, that usually is enough to back somebody down.
And if the threat of a stun gun is enough to make inmates behave better, then ideally there should be fewer fights and therefore fewer injuries to guards and inmates. The promise of this technology piqued the interest of the National Institute of Justice, the research branch of the Justice Department.
Stun guns are being used in the field. They were being used all of the time. And there were a number of claims being made.
David Boyd is Director of Science and Technology for the National Institute of Justice.
So what we wanted to do was to find out, are those claims in fact true? Are they in fact safer? Do they in fact produce better control? And do they in fact produce fewer injuries?
To find out, the NIJ decided to fund a study. Their laboratory would be one of the largest jail systems in the country. In 1994, the Justice Department's research branch paid to send 900 stun guns to Maricopa County, Arizona, a huge shipment since most of the nation's jails don't have a single stun gun. And the federally funded weapons were sent directly to a man many say runs one of the toughest jails in the nation.
I'm the sheriff. I'm the one that wanted the stun devices. I'm the one that authorized it. It was me.
Sheriff Joe Arpaio has developed a national reputation for his get-tough corrections philosophy. In his book, America's Toughest Sheriff, Arpaio writes that his jails should be places to which no inmate will ever want to return. To save money, the sheriff houses more than 1,000 inmates in tents, some of which date from World War I. And when Arpaio saw an opportunity to arm his staff with stun guns for free, he jumped on it.
Tell you one thing, I've had 120 officers assaulted last year. And I'm not going to continue allow that to happen, so they must have something to help them.
In exchange for free weapons, Arpaio allowed researchers into his jails for 2 years. They would document what happened after stun guns arrived and prepare a report for the Justice Department. Experts say that stun guns are controversial in the world of corrections, mainly because they can be abused by guards. So those jails that have them tend to restrict access to the weapons, which means they're locked up in a room or only given to supervisors. But when Arpaio got the weapons, he gave them to all of his guards. Mistake number one, says corrections expert John Peters.
When you arm people with technology such as this in a confined area, there can be a tendency for certain employees to overuse it or misuse it. So to minimize any type of abuse or misuse, they just don't give the employee that type of equipment for a 24/7 operation.
Peters has testified as an expert witness in excessive force cases against Sheriff Arpaio. He says stun technology can be an effective way of controlling inmates, but he says there must be strict policies and guidelines governing their use. But after Arpaio armed his guards, he changed the jail's use of force policy, saying guards could use their weapons before making hands-on contact with an inmate. Mistake number two, says Peters.
That's why training is so important. Why there needs to be boundaries put on the use of these devices. You do not turn the electronic restraint device into a torture tool. And unfortunately, in some cases, that has happened.
Peter says he thinks that's what happened in the case of Scott Norberg. The 33-year-old was picked up on an aggravated assault charge and brought to a Maricopa jail. At the time of the arrest, officers said Norberg was so incoherent he couldn't even sign his own name. The next day, officers walked into Norberg's cell to serve him with court papers. They found the inmate was sitting on the floor of his cell in a stupor. In this videotaped deposition with a lawyer, jail clerk Patricia Duran describes what happened next.
Officer Gurney reached down with his left hand, grabbed Scott by the right arm, and pulled him up and stunned him twice on his upper torso.
Did he try and pull Scott to his feet?
Before Scott was even on his feet, Gurney had grabbed his stun gun and stunned him. By then, another officer got there, and I heard the stun gun go off two more times.
When you turned around to go away, did you hear stun guns going off?
I heard it go off four or five more times.
Duran said that each time Norberg was stunned, he became more enraged. Officers eventually forced the inmate into a restraint chair. Duran said that even then, guards continued to stun him. As they wrestled with Norberg, officers gagged the inmate with a towel and repeatedly pushed his head down into his chest. Norberg suffocated to death. An autopsy report showed 19 burn marks from stun guns on Norberg's body. The Justice Department eventually found there was insufficient evidence to charge the officers with excessive force, but the county paid out over $8 million to settle a wrongful death lawsuit filed by Norberg's family, the largest pretrial settlement in Arizona state history. But the Justice Department knew of the potential for problems with stun guns at Maricopa long before Scott Norberg died. 8 months earlier, they had begun a civil rights probe at the Maricopa jails. As in the case of Scott Norberg, investigators had found that guards weren't using stun guns just to subdue violent inmates. Investigators documented cases of guards using stun guns just to keep inmates from speaking out, or simply to hustle guys along when they weren't moving fast enough. One inmate had his testicle stunned after he was already in a restraint chair. Justice Department officials recommended that the sheriff remove the stun guns from the guards. To that, the Maricopa Sheriff's Office had one response.
Our response was, well, this is somewhat surprising because you guys are the ones that gave us the money and asked us to do this.
Jack McIntyre is the Sheriff's Director of Intergovernmental Relations.
I think it was a bit of an eye-opener for them because a lot of times one side of the federal government may not know what the other side is doing.
The Justice Department refused to speak on tape for this story, but officials there say when they asked the sheriff to remove the stun guns, they had no idea their own research branch had paid for them. In 1997, the Justice Department sued the sheriff, saying that jail officials used excessive force against inmates, that they deliberately allowed the practices to continue, and failed to discipline guards for misconduct. The sheriff settled with the government. He admitted no wrongdoing, but Arpaio adopted a more restrictive policy regarding stun guns. But now it turns out those weapons may not even be safe. 4 years after sending the stun guns to Maricopa, the National Institute of Justice concluded that, quote, very little is known about the health effects of electrical stun devices. But those results come late for the inmates inside the Maricopa jails. During the course of the federal government's two-year study, inmates were stunned 881 times. Should the NIJ have made sure the technology was safe before giving it to the guards of Maricopa? Again, the NIJ's David Boyd.
Well, as most people observe, hindsight is incredibly perfect, but in fact, until you have those research findings, you don't know that. And so the question you ought to be asking is, what's happened as a consequence of those studies? And I'd suggest that one of the things that's happened is that stun guns are not widely used in the United States.
But they are still widely used in the Maricopa County jails. Every single guard still carries a stun gun, paid for by the United States Department of Justice. Amy Costello, NPR News, Washington.